The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
To clean or to disinfect? That is the question we're going to tackle on this episode of the Safety Pro podcast. We are in the throes of the 2020 COVID-19 pandemic, and I wanted to tackle this topic because it keeps coming up and there's a lot of misinformation out there about what to do cleaning or disinfecting and what's the difference. And at the risk of sounding like a word nerd, and you all know how I don't like that, there is a distinction worth noting in this case. So let's get right into it.
Welcome to the Safety Pro Podcast, powered by iReport Source, helping you manage safety one episode at a time. With the constant regulatory and workplace culture challenges businesses face, we'll provide you with all the relevant information necessary to achieve a safer, more productive workplace. No management theories, platitudes, or guru speak, just actionable info you can use right away. Now here's your host, the Safety Pro himself, Blaine Hoffman.
As mentioned, we are in the throes of the 2020 coronavirus pandemic, or COVID-19, and there's a lot of information that has been shared from, you know, how far apart we should stand from one another to how to wash our hands properly. I've even seen fellow safety pros record videos on how to properly wash their hands using ink to illustrate how to achieve full coverage of soap. I mean, this is all great. Right, we've been talking about proper hygiene to improve worker health for, you know, decades. We're constantly battling this issue, so I'm glad to see there's such an interest in this now. Now, because hygiene is critical, many disinfecting products are harder and harder to find as a result of panic buyers just hoarding supplies of items that they think, right, that they believe will make them safer. The truth is, many of these disinfectants are just not necessary according to all current available information. I mean, think about it. In order to prevent the spread of illness, we're told to avoid touching our face, that's, you know, eyes, nose, mouth, and to simply wash our hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. I mean, that's good enough, right? For some reason, when we look at the desk, we have to use kerosene and a blowtorch, that, you know, in order to get that clean. Yet, you know, we can just wash our hands for 20 seconds with soap and water. That's going to stop it. So let's take a step back, a deep breath, and let's look at this and read the current guidance, from the CDC and OSHA, and just talk about this in a different way. I also hope this episode will help you, safety pros, coach managers and workers a little bit better, help calm nerves, help ease some tensions, and approach this from a practical point of view. All right, so people think they need to use bleach or alcohol or some other product containing those ingredients to disinfect surfaces around the clock, right? In fact, all available guidance tells us that routine cleaning is adequate for general work areas. Disinfecting is only recommended for suspected cases of COVID-19, or of course, you know, confirmed cases. Again, as I said, at the risk of sounding like a word nerd, and you know how I hate that, I do need to share the CDC definition of these two terms because they are actually different terms. They mean different types of things. So when we use them, we need to be careful we're picking the right one. Okay? So cleaning refers to the removal of germs, dirt, and impurities from surfaces. Now, cleaning does not necessarily kill germs, but by removing them, it lowers their numbers and the risk of spreading infection. disinfecting refers to using chemicals to kill germs on surfaces. And that process does not necessarily clean dirty surfaces or remove germs, but by killing them on the surface, it can further lower the risk of spreading infection. And these two activities are often combined. You clean, then can disinfect. You would combine those two separate activities. Now, I went ahead and defined these two terms because they are important, and here's why. The interim guidance for businesses and employers from the CDC, I'll have a link in the show notes for you. According to the CDC, you should perform routine environmental cleaning. This means routinely cleaning all frequently touched surfaces in the workplace, like workstations, countertops, doorknobs, keyboards, the mouse, you know, stuff like that. Here is something worth noting. The CDC goes on to state that no additional disinfection beyond routine cleaning is recommended at this time. The CDC also instructs employers to use cleaning agents that are usually used in these areas and follow the directions on the label. You know, you should also provide disposable wipes for commonly used surfaces like electronics, you know, the keyboards and mice, because that's, and doorknobs, of course, that's for immediate use, for employees' immediate use, right? So that's the guidance from the CDC. Now, OSHA goes even further. They recognize that because the transmissibility of COVID-19 from contaminated environmental surfaces and objects is not fully understood, employers should carefully evaluate whether or not work areas occupied by people suspected to have the virus, or whether they may have contaminated, and whether or not they need to be decontaminated in response. So they simply say that employers should evaluate whether or not work areas that are occupied by people suspected to have the virus, whether or not those areas are indeed contaminated, and if they should be decontaminated in response. They then state, and I'm going to read this direct quote, "Outside of healthcare and death care facilities, there is typically no need to perform special cleaning or decontamination of work environments when a person suspected of having the virus has been present, unless those environments are visibly contaminated with blood or other bodily fluids. In limited cases where further cleaning and decontamination may be necessary, consult the U.S. Centers for Disease Control Prevention guidance for cleaning and disinfecting environments, including those contaminated with other coronavirus." So OSHA even says, hey, look, our guidance is just because somebody is suspected or has coronavirus and they've been in the area, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to bleach, sanitize the entire geographic area around them. You know, it's, you need to evaluate whether or not further disinfection is needed, again, based on your evaluation. And then if so, you follow the disinfection guidelines. All right, so what does it mean when we say disinfecting your facility if someone is sick? Okay, so let's go back to the CDC, because even OSHA recommends and references the CDC's guidance. If there is a worker under investigation of having COVID-19, or there has been a confirmed case of COVID-19 in the workplace, here is where disinfecting comes into play. Employers will need to clean, right? Number one, clean and then disinfect all areas used by the sick person, such as offices, bathrooms, common areas, shared electronic equipment like tablets, touchscreens, keyboards, remote controls, ATM machines. They list ATM machines in here. You know, don't forget vending machines, things like that. So here are the steps. Number one, clean surfaces using soap and water. Practice routine cleaning of frequently touched surfaces. Remember, high-touch surfaces include tables, doorknobs, light switches, countertops, handles, desks, phones, keyboards, toilets, faucets, sinks, stuff like that. Then number two, disinfect using diluted household bleach solutions, alcohol solutions with at least 70% alcohol, or other EPA registered household disinfectants. Again, I'll have links to all of these references here. Okay, so some points to consider, right? Check to ensure the product is not past its expiration date. For example, chlorine, it loses its concentration over time. So make sure it's within the appropriate use-by date. Follow manufacturer's instructions for application and proper ventilation, right? For example, don't mix household bleach with ammonia or other cleaners to avoid toxic releases of gases. And many products recommend keeping the surface wet for several minutes to ensure germs are killed. This one is key. There are several products out there, even for bloodborne pathogen cleanup, that indicate you need to leave the surface wet for sometimes up to 10 minutes. I'll see even first aid providers that have been trained in proper cleanup spray a surface and then wipe it. And, you know, you got to be able to stop them and say, hey, you need to leave that surface wet for at least 10 minutes or 2 minutes. It depends. It varies by product. Just make sure you understand the product's recommendations. And then always, of course, use proper precautions like wearing gloves, maybe goggles, making sure that you have proper ventilation, as noted before, during the use of any of these products. Now, for soft surfaces like carpeted floors, rugs, drapes, things like that, clean the surface using soap and water or with cleaners appropriate for the use on these surfaces. You can launder, if possible, the item. According to the manufacturer's instructions, use the warmest appropriate water setting and dry the items completely or disinfect with an EPA-registered household disinfectant. And I have a link to the list of those that meet the EPA's criteria for use against COVID-19 specifically, if that's what you're after. Remember, there are some Tier 1 listed cleaners, but they aren't registered specifically for COVID-19. I've heard of Pine Sol, for example. Yeah, a common like Hong Kong strain of the flu, athlete's foot fungus, staph, but it doesn't list COVID-19, and it's not currently on this EPA's list of disinfectants for COVID-19. Now, for electronics like tablets, touchscreens, keyboards, you know, remote controls, things like that, consider putting a wipeable cover over the electronics. That's going to make things a lot easier. So a keyboard cover, okay? Follow the manufacturer's instructions for cleaning and disinfecting. And if no instructions are available, use alcohol-based wipes or sprays containing at least 70% alcohol and dry the surface thoroughly. For clothing, towels, linens, other items, and here I'm thinking PPE such as fall protection harnesses and lanyards. Obviously, wear disposable gloves. Wash hands with soap and water as soon as you remove the gloves. Don't shake dirty laundry or these cloth items. You launder the items according to the manufacturer's instructions. Use the warmest appropriate water setting and dry the items completely. Dirty laundry from an ill person can be washed with other people's items because you're cleaning all of them at once, right? Clean and disinfect the clothes hampers or containers according to the guidance that we've already talked about that is appropriate for that type of surface. So if it's a hard plastic, you know, container, box, or hamper, you can approach it like it's like a hard surface. So look, remember, in general, just increase the frequency that you clean the general work environment, okay? This opens up a wide variety of cleaning products that may not be in high demand right now, and you can reserve those precious disinfectants that everybody is snatching up for cleaning visibly contaminated surfaces, right? Think bloodborne pathogens, right? Or where there is a suspected or confirmed COVID-19 case. This helps ease demand on the supply chain for those products. This is key. And it's same thing at home. If you just do routine cleaning and basic hygiene, you're going to be ahead of this. And only when somebody becomes ill or is suspected of having this and is under investigation, maybe you're waiting for test results, then go to disinfecting until you get the confirmation that it's either positive or negative. This really is something that is on the, you know, top of mind for me, because many workplaces, and I'm seeing all these, you know, posts online and people making comments that, you know, hey, the janitorial services, they're mopping the floor. Should they be using, you know, bleach? And it's like, stop, just stop. Okay. Go through your normal cleaning routine with the cleaning solutions that are normally used for those areas. Now, you could increase the frequency. One, the optics are going to be great when workers see that it's just constantly being cleaned, wiped off. Windex is great for a lot of windows and doors and doorknobs. And just make sure that you increase the frequency, but use the same products you normally would use to keep those areas clean. Coupled with other recommendations, like reviewing your company's sick policy and making sure it's communicated and understood. Social distancing, right? Staggering start and stop times to avoid large groups of people at very few entryways or exit ways at the beginning and end of shifts. That's going to help, you know, limiting, you know, offsetting breaks and maybe adding a little bit of travel time to the breaks, right? Limiting meetings that take place, removing chairs in cafeterias. All of those things will help together combined. Will help make workplaces less likely to experience a significant outbreak and will help stop the spread of this illness according to all current available information. Again, I started out with this, so I'll end with this. Take a deep breath, educate ourselves on what is going on, educate ourselves on what best available recommended practices are at the time, and remember, overkill sometimes will work against us. One, we're going to limit the available supplies to those that actually need it. Nursing homes, schools, hospitals. You know, your general workplaces shouldn't be mass buying, you know, or households for that matter, shouldn't be mass buying cases and cases of bleach, alcohol, and things that you normally would not have. So again, all of this will help. In a systemic way, will help make sure that those items are more available to those that actually need to purchase them. Okay, masks come to mind. It's everywhere. It doesn't take you long to look this stuff up. There is no recommendation for healthy people to wear masks. None. There's a recommendation for those who are ill to wear masks because it's the cough, the droplets coming out from coughing and sneezing. That is going to potentially contaminate. If I put a little paper mask on over my nose and my mouth, my eyes, my skin, everything else is still exposed. If you think about it, if somebody coughs or sneezes on me, I still have it on me, which then could later get into my eyes or nose or mouth when I take that mask off, or contaminate the mask with my hands, or contaminate my hands by touching the outside of the mask. There's just so many, if you think about it, in a practical, logical sense, it'll lead you to the answer that you need to get to, which is, okay, we should probably reserve masks for those that need it. Ill patients, and then the medical community. There's a run on these things right now. They can't get them because workplaces are buying these in bulk to hand out to workers because the workers think it's going to make them safe. Okay, maybe there's a benefit. Psychologically, it's optics, right? And we can use optics in good faith to just put people at ease. But here, this is a case where it's actually hurting the community. It's hurting, you know, at large, because it's putting a strain on the supply chain. Manufacturers can't keep up with this. And here's something else to consider. Look, these items and products are made in workplaces with people that are also experiencing what you're going through and what we're experiencing, the stress and anxiety, the panic, right? The panic buying and purchasing. And maybe they're staying home. So now we're we're collectively all impacted by this, but then at the same time, we're all trying to still get to work and produce these things and make these things that the communities need. So now more than ever, we need to just hit pause, pump the brakes a little bit, take a deep breath, read what the current guidance tells us, and then go into the workplace, coach leaders, managers, and engage workers. You're not going to win all of them. You're always going to have the one that's, you know, and when it's just your average flu season, they're walking around with a full-on hazmat suit, okay? But I'm talking about your average workers are going to understand if we've done everything that we've talked about and continue to talk about on this podcast, build trust with workers, okay? Make sure that we establish psychologically safe work environment. We build that culture of safety and we engage employees and they are engaged in the safety process. If we're in a good place, we shouldn't have too much trouble with communicating this appropriately and taking the right steps to make sure that we gain that trust, that they trust the employer is doing the right things. But, you know, look, if you're struggling with all of this, then you might want to take a few steps back and look at what some of the underlying issues are. Some workers are being motivated by others in their family at home, the wife or the husband, the spouse, the children, they're worried about their children. And these are all normal human emotions. It's all normal to feel this way during times like this. So what we can do as safety professionals is be calm, collected, inform, coach, you know, educate, and keep in mind that the psychological aspects of this sometimes have nothing to do with logic and facts, and we have to be able to deal with those appropriately. But I wanted to tackle this topic because I'm seeing it right now. We cannot get some of these supplies. Hospitals, friends that work in hospitals and in the medical community, they're saying they can't get a lot of these things. And those are the places that actually need it. Those are the places that are experiencing, you know, confirmed cases of this, and they need these supplies. And then we have, you know, general workplaces, a factory or an office place, and, you know, they're hoarding this stuff in the closet and bathing the whole facility in alcohol and bleach, and it's really not needed in most of those cases. So just consider what I'm talking about. I want to hear your thoughts. I do see two sides of this. One, the logical side that I just talked about, and the psychological side and the optics of, okay, there's a benefit of people seeing that we're using bleach and alcohol everywhere, but could that be doing more harm than good? And by feeding that psychological stressor, that need to feel, using air quotes here, feel like things are safer when they're actually no cleaner than they would have been if you used just soap and water. Look, I want to hear your thoughts. Let's get a conversation going. Look for this post about this episode on LinkedIn and share your thoughts and comments. I look forward to reading them, and I'll talk to you on the next Safety Pro Podcast episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Safety Pro Podcast, powered by iReport Source, the all-in-one digital safety solution. For info on how you can request a free demo on all the capabilities of iReport Source to streamline your business's safety management system, head over to thesafetypropodcast.com. We look forward to helping you manage safety on the next episode of the Safety Pro Podcast.